after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you like to sit down? If you're counting 12 days from Christmas, you'll get to the 6th of January, which is the official Feast of the Epiphany. But we always celebrate it in the church on the second Sunday after Christmas. So we celebrate that today, and we place the figures of the three wise men, or the Magi, in the crib. You'll notice that the shepherd and the angels have gone. Traditional teaching, although it's not in the Bible, have given names to those wise men. They've called them Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. Sometimes comes up on a pub quiz, so there's some useful information if you ever need it. That's their three names. So let's just pray. Loving God, your word, Jesus, was revealed as the light of the world, the hope of the nations, and the deliverer of your people, Israel. Help us, Lord, to see you with fresh eyes, to hear your word to us in our hearts, to hear and to act on your call on our lives. Amen. So as we come to the season of Epiphany, we move on from Christmas. A new year, Epiphany tide, perhaps it's an opportunity for some to make resolutions, for others it's an opportunity to start afresh, or even to make a brand new start. Epiphany teaches us about light, and the new light is dawning on the world. That's what Epiphany means. It's a revealing of Jesus to the wise men. People often call it a moment of epiphany when something is new is revealed. And we run into that in our gospel reading today. We encounter the wise men from the east. The Gospels don't picture them on camels. That's something that is a little bit more contemporary, although it's referred to in the reading we have from Isaiah. But these were wise men from the east, probably from Persia or modern-day Iran, and they were on a journey. They'd seen a star in the sky. These were people who devoted their lives to studying the movement of the stars in order to see what was happening with the world. So these wise men, or magi, as some versions of the Bible call them, saw something in the heavens that indicated that something special was happening. In this case, it's a new king being born in the land of Israel. So they start their journey to find the king, probably asking the question as they follow the star, what on earth are we doing? Why are we following this star as it goes through the sky? Something was calling them and something was leading them onwards. And you always wonder, because it was actually a really long journey that they were on. As they went on this journey, what were they expecting to find? What were the places that they were going through before they got to Bethlehem? Were they going to other towns and other cities before they got to Jerusalem and asking the same question? Where is this king that we're looking for? But wherever they went, eventually they arrive in the city of Jerusalem and they go to the place where you expect to find them. They go to the top dog, the palace of the king. They go to Herod. Because, of course, that's how society is structured. You get the bad and the low down on the bottom. You get the kings and the rulers right at the top. Wouldn't the newborn king of Israel be found in a comfortable palace in Jerusalem? But that's not what they find. Instead, they have to go further on the journey. And if you like, they've got to move further down the pecking order, because this new king is going to be found at the bottom with the commoners and the outcasts and the ordinary people of society. This is a king who can look on each one of us and know exactly what we're like, exactly what we're going through. This is a king who completely understands and totally gets our individual situations. This is a king who knows exactly what it's like to be one of us. And they get to Bethlehem. This time, they're not going to a stable. This time, the gospel says they were actually in a house. So presumably, Mary and Joseph have moved on. They've got somewhere a little bit more permanent to stay. But something had claimed and called these wise men. Something had got hold of them, led them on this mysterious journey, shown them where to go. And this was a feeling or a presence or an intuition that wasn't going to let them go. And I wonder if you've experienced that. What are the epiphanies like in your life? What are the things that have grabbed hold of you and just not let go of you? What are those thoughts, feelings, or intuitions that you've held on to? The wise men journey on to Bethlehem. They've got to trust in this star that they're following. And maybe epiphanies aren't single moments in time or single events in our lives, but maybe our epiphanies, or the things that are revealed to us, are part of a longer journey. Maybe these are things that are revealed to us over the course of our lives. Maybe we shouldn't be stopping and looking for a single event, but treating the whole of our life as a journey, and the revealing of these little glimpses or these God-given moments to us as we journey through life. Maybe we're looking in the wrong places. Maybe we should stop and allow God to reveal God's self to us. Maybe it's important that we don't actually see the destination, that we treat the journey as something that's far more important. Maybe, like the wise men, we just need to be brave and we just need to be trusting and follow the star. So here's a question for you to think about. What star are you following at the moment? If you put the points of the compass on your life, which are the ones that are most important to you? Is it particular values or qualities of ways of, or ways of being that direct and guide your life? Maybe you hold firm to certain standards or principles or ways of being, and those are really important. They're things by which you hold yourself accountable both to God and to other people. Or maybe the star that you're following is the star of people that have influenced you in your journey through life. Maybe people who've revealed or helped to have revealed to you those epiphany moments. Who are the wise women and men who you have sought out, or people that you particularly trust? Maybe there are spiritual companions, soul friends, other Christians who've guided you or influenced you. Who are you thankful for as we begin this new year? Maybe there's a certain passage in the Bible, a particular story, or even people from the Bible that keep you centered and on track. Different things that we go back to again and again, where we see the goodness of God revealed or the light shining in the situation. Maybe the star that you're following is love, compassion, justice, mercy, or hope. Things that you're looking for in the world. Maybe we could be asking as we go into this new year, what are the challenges that are going to help our lives to grow? What are the things we're going to have to overcome? What are the things from the past that we can help use to orient us towards the future? What are the dreams, the hopes, and the expectations that are helping us to move our lives forward? Or even, what are the things that we need to change in our lives in order to allow us to move forward? Or even, we can consider that the star that we're following is our relationships with other people. What do we have to expand? What do we have to deepen? Or what do we even have to shrink to help change our relationships with other people? Those and so many more things are the light of Epiphany, or the revealing by the star that we're following. Don't think of it as just one star. Think of it as a whole constellation. All these things coming together to give our lives shape and direction. And here's a striking thing about today's gospel. Ultimately, those wise men didn't know where they were going. They hadn't been told the destination, they just had to trust, obey, and follow. But somehow, they knew the way. They knew which star in the sky they had to follow, and all they could do was follow it. It was the one star that led them, but allowed them to open up when they got to their final destination, not just their own treasure chests, but the treasure chests of their lives. And when they got to Bethlehem and went into the house and they found Jesus, they had their epiphany moment, because they'd found this unexpected king. Not in the royal palace, but in a really low-key, unexpected dwelling. There they found the kind of king that God had always planned to reveal. A human king, a king just like us, a king who completely understands us. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking again at this King Jesus and the kind of kingdom that he came to establish here on earth. Because God's kingdom is really unexpected. This is a kingdom that takes unexpected twists and turns. God's kingdom, if we follow it, turns our lives completely upside down. God's kingdom transforms us. And that's not a new thing. God's kingdom turning things upside down has been part of God's plan for people right back from the beginning. It's what God has been working on throughout the story of his people of Israel. Because Jesus comes into our lives to turn everything completely upside down. And Jesus does that in order to set us free. That's the message that we need to hear perhaps in 2026. The message of love, the message of redemption, the message of being set free. Allowing ourselves to be transformed, even turned upside down by this exciting kingdom of God. So what if our goals changed? What if we focused on God this year? What if we focused on our spiritual formation? We're never going to be perfect people. We're never going to be truly like God, who's way up there. But what if we realize that God, instead of being way up there, is the God who has come down here to be right here with us? This is the kind of God who loves us so much that God wants us to grow in love in return. This is the God who wants us to try and love ourselves as much as God loves us, which is not always easy for us to do. This is the kind of God who wants us to love our families, our friends, our neighbors, our communities as much as God loves them. This is the God who wants us to try and see the good in everything and everyone. That's the kingdom of God. Right here, right now, right in this place, and flowing out from it. This is an unexpected kingdom, but this is a kingdom that we and the whole of society so desperately need. And perhaps God's way of doing things or God's way of seeing things is going to remain a complete puzzle to us. It's not for us to completely understand things as God sees them. Sometimes the working out of life for that journey, even with the epiphany moments, still remains a puzzle. But what if we allow ourselves to be led? What are then those moments where God is going to reveal things from us? Those wise men came from the east looking for a king reigning in majesty. What they found was the kingdom completely turned on its head. They found God in what was completely unexpected. So when people look at us as followers of the kingdom, a people who are people of the kingdom, what are people going to see when they look at us? Are they going to see us truly following Jesus? Are they going to see us embracing the unexpected and going on the journey? Are they going to find followers of the unexpected King? I really hope they will. And I really hope as we journey through this new year together that we will do so as God's people, God's kingdom, God's people turned completely upside down. And if you'd like to pray as we journey into this new year, after the service, a couple of us are going to be standing over there in the north aisle, and we will be really glad to pray with you after the service. Pray for those epiphany moments. Pray for God's revealing of God's self in your lives. Praying for change and the opportunities to journey forward. So please, if you feel called, do come forward for prayer after the service. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.